are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
It's the verbal feedback which has the greatest impact, and if you're able to skillfully get in amongst the children and ask the right question at the right time, that gives you the opportunity to then really accelerate learning going forward.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance and research-based publications.
In the 36th episode of the Teacher Toolkit podcast, Ros McGill interviews Ben Turner, head teacher at a Ministry of Defence school in Germany which provides education to children whose parents are in the armed services. He describes what it's like to work in this context, talks about his education background and the career path that led him to where he is today, and explains how you could get a job in a Ministry of Defence school if you're interested in working abroad.
Hello everyone, this is Ross at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I'm with Ben Turner and I am in Gütersloh in Germany. Ben, could you introduce yourself to listeners and tell us what you do?
Yeah, certainly. I'm a head teacher of a school with the forces in Germany. We're part of a global network of schools providing education for service children wherever there are forces.
Okay, so I've been working with you in your schools today, and it's been a fascinating tour and looking around and talking to colleagues. Give us a little insight into your everyday work or your background in the Ministry of Defence.
Okay, so all of the teachers that work with us are recruited especially from England, from the UK, and we're then based within schools all around the world. I mean, if you were to pick up one of our schools and drop them back in England, you wouldn't really notice any great difference in terms of curriculum and in terms of what you'd provide. I suppose the only real difference is the location that we have and the context with which we're working. But other than that, you wouldn't really notice any great change. We have Ofsted in the same way that that you would do in England. It's, in fact, it's HMI that come out to visit us, and that's on a similar cycle that you would have back in the UK too.
A silly question from me, but how did you get into this? How did it happen?
So I was actually born and brought up in British Forces Germany. My father was a teacher doing the similar sort of thing. He was actually out here with his father, who was a serviceman, and my kids are fourth generation British Army.
So you were educated as a child in
Absolutely.
The forces?
Yeah, up until 12 years old. And from 12 years old, we went to England and through my secondary education, sixth form university. Mm-hmm. That was all back in England. And I started my career in England as well.
Okay. So any particular highlights from your experiences at school yourself as a child?
As a child, I can think back to, it's mostly the real life experiences. So I remember one time that was out here in Germany that the school suddenly stopped the curriculum and we went out on a number of buses out into the middle of nowhere to watch a Harrier jump jet land. And that's stuck with me forevermore. The fact that we were able to go and do that back to school, back to learning. It was an incredible experience. And then thinking ahead to schools in England, it's particular teachers that stand out. And for me, I had an amazing physics teacher, Mr. Cadwallader, who made learning engaging. There was the right sort of balance between humour and getting to know all about physics. Uh-huh. You know, he really instilled a real enthusiasm for the subject with me, and that's taken forward from there as well.
So your subject specialism
was
science as well,
but I'm primary school, so okay, jack of all
so
trades, you
jack
could
of
say.
All, yeah. Is there any particular? So you've been a head teacher 12 years.
12 years out in Germany. I was a head teacher in the UK for 2 years prior to that. As
okay.
Well.
And any particular career highlights?
For me, being involved with the SEAL project right at the beginning when I was back in the UK, the social emotional aspects of learning, was at a time when I'd just taken on the overall leadership of the school, and it was really starting to impact on my philosophy as a leader. So for me, being involved with those sorts of ideas, not only for children but for the staff as well, it's always meant that well-being has been high on the agenda in terms of my leadership, and being able to share that with neighbouring authorities and go and speak for them on behalf of the SEAL project was great.
Okay, and
Is there, you know, workload affects us all, teachers. Anything that particularly is unique to Ministry of Defence schools, or is it teaching full stop?
I suppose it is teaching full stop, but it's the wider implication, or the wider context that has an impact on learning, or a potential impact on learning, in that we get students coming through our schools fairly regularly, so that the mobility issue within schools is a challenge. I suppose that brings with it a workload, but it's not a negative workload, mm-hmm. because you're trying to do the best for the kids that you've mm-hmm. got for that short period of time that you have them in school.
So we found today in our research with the teachers that marking came up. Is there anything that you would particularly advocate as a great teaching strategy for, you know, primary kids in your experience?
For me, especially with primary, it's the verbal feedback which has the greatest impact. And if you're able to skillfully get in amongst the children and ask the right question at the right time, mm-hmm. That gives you the opportunity to then really accelerate learning going forwards and have that progress that you're after in the lesson.
Fits in with your you know, background of the SEAL work that you've done as well. If I was considering moving into an MOD school, what you know, and I was based over in England, what advice, how would I research, where do I look, how do I get started?
So, I mean, generally the opportunities come up through the Times Ed, so mm-hmm. in the back pages are there. If you look under the overseas
job boards.
Yeah. Then that's where you're going to find us. I mean, at the moment we're a shrinking organisation, and we've been talking today about the fact that the schools in Germany are drawing down as the military move back to the UK. So the job opportunities, as we stand at the moment, are limited, and there's a lot of internal recruitment going on.
But across the wider world, there's a big network, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I suppose that's one of the things that we're trying to do at the moment, is really gather that network together and make it even stronger. We have been very good at global networking within mm-hmm. our schools, and we're trying to just keep up with the new technology that's out there in order to make that even stronger.
So then the unique thing about your school, you know, right across the road literally is a secondary school, and you're in a campus. Could you give us a bit more insight into the context in which you and your colleagues are working?
So, I mean, as you said, it's two separate schools, but we have a very good relationship with certainly myself and the head teachers, but also with other staff throughout the school. So we've always been able to take advantage of their facilities, their mm-hmm. expertise. We have children going over into the science labs and working with their science teachers. We help out about providing children for some of the mm-hmm. Students who are doing PE qualifications mm-hmm. and who are organising those. But also today, like with the joint CPD stuff that's going on, mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the teaching and learning per se that is a joint venture for us.
It's
working together across the whole piece.
Now, I'm not saying you can get a silver bullet idea, but you know, you're working between all your colleagues from different sites in your context. Is there a workload tip that could fit any teacher? Is there anything that you would advocate?
In terms of workload, I mean, it's been said before, and off the top of my head now, I can't remember who said it, but it's keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
And if you can do that and cut away the stuff that's not making impact or having impact, then you're on the right road.
Okay. So in our education world, what would you like us to see do more of, and what would you like us to see stop doing?
I think it's about keeping the learning real. It's challenging all students to be the best that they can be, and it's cutting away the bureaucratic side that perhaps takes our attention away from designing and thinking about learning, mm-hmm. And onto more sort of administrative duties that don't necessarily have that end result that we're looking for.
Books that you're reading at the moment?
I've just actually started a book that I've been meaning to read for years and years and years. Probably one I should have covered at school, but it's 1984. I've just started to read it.
Fantastic. Anything you've learnt today, this week?
For me, it's about... What I really love about these opportunities is seeing the research that fits into what... I like to do as a leader. So it's giving me the reasons behind mm-hmm. what I'm doing, or giving me, or making me question some of the things that I do as a leader. And for me, leadership is not about one person, it's about a collective effort.
Yeah.
And yes, there has to be one person that's enabling that to happen. I see that as me. In my particular school, in my context,
yeah.
But just listening and really listening, so hearing what people are saying,
yeah.
And giving them the confidence to question,
yeah.
the confidence to challenge, because when they are able to do that, that's what then really drives the yeah. school forwards.
Great. You're a new blogger, aren't you? A new tweeter. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. So I mean that happened actually. Beginning of this year at the heads conference that I went to for our head teachers globally, and a very good man, Jens Nevjedski, put me on to the twitting, or the tweeting rather.
Tweeting.
See, I'm still learning. And it took a few months to actually work out how is this actually benefiting me.
Yeah.
And then a chance meeting of yeah. a gentleman in France on a campsite, a guy, Ross McGill, his name is, just took it to another level and just was able to really demonstrate how Twitter can impact positively on CPD,
yeah.
but also on your own understanding, your own yeah. learning of education.
So the blogging, how's that going so far?
The blog. So I have committed to doing a blog a week for our closing year, and just really as a piece in history.
So, for context for listeners, the school's closing, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. So we close in July next year, as I said earlier, because
yeah.
of the drawdown of the forces in Germany. Yeah. So this is about talking through that whole process over the course of this year. So I've got three done so far. The next one's due to come out on Monday, and some of it's just reflections. Some of it will be about the things that we're doing in school.
And also, the logistics of decamping and finding new work. And
yeah, as we go forwards, I think that'll be it. I mean, yeah. at the moment, it's more setting the scene. And Mondays is going to be about the Hague 50. So one of the things that we've done as part of trying to just make this year a special year for the children and for the staff and for families as well, for that matter, is to devise a list of 50 challenges that really encourages yeah. children to make the best of this unique environment that we're in, and they'll do that over the course of the year. So there'll be more about that in the blog on Monday.
So who would you like us to interview next, and why?
I think it would be interesting to interview Jerry McGovern, who is the design director for Land Rover.
Okay.
One, I guess, because we've got a shared interest in Land Rover, but two, in terms of the way that Land Rover's design is going, I wonder if, and everything looking so similar, I wonder if there are parallels that could be drawn with that and some of the educational structures that are out there at the moment.
All right, interesting answer. So, Jerry, if you're listening, or I'll try and track you down, we'll see what we can do. So Ben, finally, where can listeners find you on Twitter or your website?
I'm on Twitter at BCT in Germany. The website, the blogs go on to BCT in Education.
Okay, and we'll link those to the blog. And your school website?
Is about to be closed down.
Okay. Okay, and it's Hague School.
It's Hague School, yeah.
Okay, so thanks for your time. Lovely to meet you here in your home. In Germany. So listeners, you're listening to Teach the Toolkit. Find out more on our podcast channel on iTunes, or follow the hashtag TTKitPodcast.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.